Good morning. Good to see you here. That's true. Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things there were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all the blessings that you've given us, our salvation. We want to praise your name today. We want to glorify you. We want to walk in your joy, and we want to give you honor and glory. Bless us as we open up your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is a parable, and Jesus did a lot of his teaching in parables, and because they're stories. A parable is just simply a story that you use to represent something. And sometimes we get a little confused when we're trying to figure out what Jesus is saying. Well, that's where the disciples were. They were not sure. Otherwise, I think they are basically sheep-keeping people, shepherds. And so they would know what he's talking about as far as the shepherd and the sheep knowing his voice. You've got a dog, or you've got a cat, or you've got a horse, or you've got something like that, and they learn you, and they learn how you pet them, or how you approve of them, and whatever, and they will respond to you, and they won't respond that way to somebody else, and that's why, but they have guard dogs, you know, they know their own people, but they don't know about the crook, and so many times it's happened that dog, seeing somebody different, all of a sudden starts growling and because it's not somebody he's used to seeing come there. Eddie was coming over to visit me one day, and he walked out to the side of the house and found a .45 weapon, a pistol, 1911 .45 caliber. It was laying in the grass right at my house. Well, I've never owned a .45. And it wasn't mine. And so I said, well, shoot, he was going to college and trying to keep his family going at the same time. I told him, sell it. Have to give you a little money. I had no thought how in the world it got there. Well, he sold it. Uh-oh, here come the police. That gun you sold was a stolen weapon. You know what happened the night before? I had a big Doberman. Big Red. He was a red Doberman. And he was a huge dog. And he was our dog. And Verlene handled him well. I handled him well. Not a problem at all. Well, the night before, about midnight, he starts raising Cain, waking everybody in the country up because he was a big dog and loud. Bar, war, war, war. And I'm going to the window of my bedroom. Shut up, Red! Well, he would shut up, you know, walk back. You know what happened? He would have let Eddie in the fence. He'd have let me in the fence. But he didn't know this guy that was coming by that fence. The man stole the .45 right across the street from us, about half a block down, running. I don't know who he was running from. He runs into this fence, and all of a sudden, the dog doesn't know him, and he raises Cain. And so I'm rebuking my dog for doing his work. He was a good watchdog. But at any rate, that's the way they are. They know you. And he's talking about the sheep here. Now, this is a story. He says, I say unto you that he that entereth not by the door. Well, the reason why you have a door is so you can enter in. And so the sheepfold even has a door. You know, you got the sheep all back and they're all bunched in a little corral and they've got this door to come in. Well, that door might have a lock on it. Might have a chain around it, locking it. And if you were a thief, you had to get to into the sheepfold to get the sheep to follow you or to steal them or whatever you're going to do. Well, he said that he that entereth not by the door, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Well, just common sense. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Well, sure. He's got his door for his own convenience, and he has his key or his lock or whatever. He comes in, and the sheep come to him because he's been feeding them all their life. And they know the shepherd of the sheep. Now, he says, the guy that enters in by the door, he's the shepherd of the sheep. Okay, they're his sheep. To him, the porter, say the guy that guards the door, the porter openeth. And the sheep hear his voice. Your little dog knows your voice. And he won't answer responsively like that to another person. Well, that's the way the sheep are. He said, to him the porter opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Have you ever seen a shepherd that can call a bunch of sheep different names? Or cows different names or whatever? Yeah. They do that. It's an amazing thing. I really enjoyed the rodeos. I didn't go to the rodeo very much. Every once in a while I went to a rodeo. But when the big rodeo and the big thing that's going to be coming up here in February, I would like to go out and I like to walk through the pens where all of these kids in school have been petting some lamb or some pig or something else like that, and they're showing them off and going for competition and whatever. That's some of the most beautiful animals you ever saw. They're out there with beauty products. They got beauty products. They're combing that hair. They're just like going to a beautician. And it's an amazing thing. We get there all over there. And these are the most pampered animals in the world. They know their owner. And they sit up for them. And they're just happy as they can be to be worked over. Well, that's the way the owner of the sheep is. The sheep hear his voice. He calls them all by name. He leads them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him. They know where he goes, there's food and water. They know where he goes, there's protection. And that's normal. Any farmer, sheep farmer, cattle farmer, ranchers, they would, they have their animals that they know. And the animals know them. And you know that with your, maybe your dog or your cat. Now, it says a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, truly, truly, surely, surely, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Now here's one of those I am's that we find in the Gospel of John. And you remember that was the name that God gave himself to Moses whenever he went down to the Egypt to deliver the children of Israel. He says, I am the door. Now, what he's saying here is he's the spiritual door to God. He's the spiritual door to salvation. I am the door. Who is that? That's Jesus. It's not religion. It's not good works. It's not being the good little boy and the bad little boy and things like that. No, no. Jesus is the door, and he is the only door. If you study the Bible in the New Testament, you'll see it over and over and over again. As a lot of people like to pray to Mary or to the saints or to somebody that's gone on. Well, I'll tell you what. There's only one name that you can get to heaven by. It's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is the door. By him, he said, they enter into the fold. They understood not. And he's going to explain this to them. If you look at Hebrews 10:19-22, he says, having therefore, brethren, boldness. Are you afraid to enter in the presence of God? Well, that's because you're not a child. If you get to be a child, you'll know that God knows your name. You know that God is for you. You'll know that God died for you. He paid your debt. He's given you eternal life, and he's going to love you forever. A great bit of difference. He says there in Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. Wait a minute. Under that tabernacle, nobody but the high priest went into the holiest. And that once a year to make an atonement. Wow. And yet you've got this opportunity, is what Paul is telling us in Hebrews. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. You ought to have boldness. Not that you would be brash or ugly or smart-alecky or something like that, but the freshness. Do your kids walk in cowering when they walk into your presence? Do they walk in and bow 7 times before they come to ask you for a cookie? No, they don't. Why? They know your mom and dad. Your mom and dad, your friend. You're their best friend. You're where their food comes from. You're where their petting comes from. They sure want to please you. They want to be happy. Well, you are a child of God. Those of you that are saved, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Why am I there? Because I'm any good? No, I'm not any good. Why am I there? The blood of Jesus. One day, I received the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ as my own. In the courts of heaven. Now I know better than that. I'm not that good. I'm not that perfect. But I'm not going to heaven because I'm good or perfect. I'm going to heaven because Jesus was. He's good. He's perfect. He's the one that shed his blood. So I have, by the blood of Jesus Christ, I have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Look at verse 20. By a new and living way. Hey, this is completely new. You know why those scholars had a real problem with Jesus? What he was telling them was new to them. They thought they had it down. They had made themselves a bunch of rules, and then they added rules to the rules of the Ten Commandments and the Word of God. And so they had it all down that they were the religious leaders. They were the smart guys. They were the doctors of the religious law. But it says, by new and living way. How am I going to go to heaven? By a new way. Not through the old tabernacle. All that was representative. All that was a figure. All of that was a shadow of things to come. And so all of those sacrifices, they have a spiritual meaning. And if they had the knowledge of how to relate them to Christ, then they would have been tremendously blessed. But Christ comes as a new way, a living way. Boldness to enter into the holiest. You're going where nobody but the high priest could go. And he had to go with blood. Well, you did too. You go with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. Now that's a tremendous statement of doctrine if you didn't understand. You get a picture of this, it'll transform your thinking. Really will. Once you start trusting Jesus instead of yourself. Now, I know a lot of us still trust yourself. I personally have very little trust in Lyndall Kincaid. I've done a lot of fasting in my life. I never did think I did very much good with it. But I have been fasting and walk by an old crust of bread and pick it up and eat it, break my fast. So, hey, you're not such a powerful hero, holy man. No, an old crust of bread can break you? You're nothing. But no, we got a new and living way. Verse 20 there. Which he hath consecrated for us. He set it apart for us. This is your special door. This is your special entrance. Amen. Praise the Lord. Through the veil. Now what's the veil? Well, he's going to answer you right here. That is to say, his flesh. You know what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary? He made a door for you. He made a door. A door by his flesh. He put his flesh up on that cross of Calvary. And he died in your place. He shed his blood. As he came out, he went into heaven and presented that blood into the tabernacle in the heavens. And from there till now, you know what you're doing? You're going through the door when you go to God. And the door is Jesus Christ. His blood. His flesh. Having a high priest over the house of God. Well, what did Jesus became not only our door, but our high priest over the house of God. Look at verse 22. Let us draw near. Now, I will admit, you and your sin have not a chance. I got a better chance of getting an audience with the governor of Texas, and I don't have any chance of that at all. You walking up before the God of heaven? Have you realized, have you thought lately about what God did? We got this universe out here that we haven't discovered the end of it yet. Our great scientists, all their great wisdom and all their great knowledge and all their great things, they haven't found the end. And the Bible says he spoke it into existence. Put it out with the span of his hand. Praise God. Let's draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Is that a little different than what most religion has taught you? A lot of religion is out there saying do good and God will bless you. Be without sin, and you can be in the presence of God. Well, when was the day when you were without sin? When was the day when you were not selfish? Had a little baby? Got in your house? Aha, selfish. I heard her. She said, pay attention to me. Don't listen to that guy that's yelling at you. Pay attention to me. I'm important. And every one of you got the same thing. You didn't care how much trouble you caused your mother or your father, how long they had to walk you. Eddie wouldn't go to sleep unless I put him in the car and drove him several blocks. I could put him in the car, drive him, he'd go to sleep. I could carry him in and dump him in the bed. Yeah, they understood not which things he spake unto them. He said, I'm the door. I'm the door, what he said. Okay, so when we're looking at it, we have this high priest. We have this new and living way, his flesh. He died for you in your place. We can draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Now, what will the full assurance of faith do for you? It'll make you joyful. It will make you confident. You won't walk into the house of God and thinking that God's going to slay me and kill me if I say the wrong word. You're going to go in like you're going into your father, like you're going into your mother with full assurance. I'm welcome at this house. Didn't matter that I wasn't welcome at anybody else's house. It was a good thing I was welcome at my house. Now, it wasn't a very fancy house. It just had four rooms and a bathroom. And my folks were just coming out of the Depression. Man, I'm telling you, But my daddy was a carpenter, a plumber, radio fixer, mechanic, whatever. He could do almost anything. He can keep himself going. You know something? I love that old house. I drive by it every once in a while. Now, the fellow that bought it really fixed it up. It's a whole lot nicer now than it was any time I was in it. I mean, got etched glass on the front doors. I didn't have etched glass. We didn't even have a lock for a door until we went on a trip one year. Not a door locked in the house. Must not have been afraid too much. Well, he said, I am the door of the sheep. I am the way the sheep get into the fold, get into the blessings, get into the food, get into the following along with all the other sheep to feed and to rejoice and to live. So that's what he's talking about. And here it is to us spiritually. And that's why we can come in full assurance of faith. I love the Lord because He loved me. I didn't love the Lord. I did fear the Lord. I was taught to fear. And I knew I wasn't the best little boy that there was in town. But the thing of it is, I would have been afraid to go into the presence of God. But you know, once I got saved, that wasn't that way anymore. I'm reading the New Testament every day, and I'm memorizing verses every day. I'm 20 years old, and I get more and more confidence to tell the Lord what I think and what I don't know. I used to tell myself, boy, when I get to heaven, I got a question I'm going to ask God. I'm going to ask God about this verse. I don't think I will. I think I'll just fall flat on my face and say, hallelujah, praise God. I don't think I'll have a question. Okay, He is the spiritual door. And so He's telling His disciples, I am the door to the sheepfold. I'm the door to the flock. I'm the door to being a Lamb of God. That's what you can be. And you can draw near with a true heart, full assurance of faith, that God's going to accept you. That you're welcome. Isn't that wonderful? Quit being messing with my sermon. I'm the important one now. Yeah, right. Not in all her life. All that ever came before me, going back to verse 8 in John 10, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. He said a lot of people came. Have you had any experience with other religions than Christianity? If you know all of the different superstitions, religions, satisfying some ogre god, it's pitiful. It really is. It's just scary. But a lot of people out there, that's what they believe. That's what they think. That's what they've been taught. And around the world, our missionaries go into some of these people, these primitive things. Good night. They kill people for their god. They eat them for their god. They give up their children for their god. The difference between Christianity and all the other religions in the world is fascinating. Just taking a look at it, just understanding it a little bit, you'll realize how great is this Christian religion. It beats everything else there is out there. And the very idea that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son for us to have everlasting life. Everlasting life. And it's not you, it's a gift. You don't earn it. It is not a deserved position. It is a gift given by God where you could not never earn it. Now, I can't give gifts that big. You can't either. But God did. God did. All that ever came before me were thieves and robbers. Well, all of these religions are thieves and robbers. If you study them long enough, you'll understand. And so God's sheep did not hear them. He's back on that parable. Now here it is again in verse 9. I am the door. Now notice it's the door. It's not a door. You've heard the a lot of people that want to think everybody's religion is good. And they'll say, we all roads lead to Rome, so all religions lead to Christ and heaven. Well, that's not exactly what it says. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the. Do you understand what that means? That's one. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Amen. That means no priest of whatever religion can get you to God. One. One man. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Get it in your head. Christianity is an all or nothing. When you accept Christ, you deny everything else. If you have everything else, you don't have Christ. Mary cannot intercede for you. All you have to do is read your Bible, and the Catholic Bible will tell you that. It's like the same scriptures. Do pretty good. But the sheep didn't hear him. I am the door by me, and if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Shall go in and out and find pasture. Not only be saved, be fed. Not only be saved, but be led. Not only be saved, but be welcomed. I had a good family. I had a good father and a good mother and a good sister. I was welcomed in my house. I wasn't a stranger there. I was welcome. Well, I'm welcome in the house of God, and you are too if you're saved. If you trusted Christ as your Savior, you're letting His blood be the only righteousness that you have. Is He your Lord and your Savior? Do you put Him first? Has He entered your life and changed it? Wow. By me, and if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now what about the thief? The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. There be people being robbed probably at this present moment. Somebody's in your house or in their house, and he's looking for something he can sell or looking for something that he can have. And he goes through, guys, he doesn't care what he breaks. He doesn't care what your needs are or your opinions. All he is selfish. He's coming to destroy, to steal, to destroy. He said, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear him. I am the door. Wow. The door. No priest, no preacher, not Mary, not St. Peter, not St. John can be your mediator. Except this one simple thought. It's one that'll cause you some trouble. Because it'll make you unfriendly to a lot of people. I am the way, the truth, and the life. All of those are these. The way, the truth, the life. And then he says it very simply, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Wow. There is one Savior, there is one name, there is one salvation. Praise God, there's one forgiveness of sins. He says down in verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life. What's the best thing ever happened to you? You got life. Everything you enjoy comes because you're alive. You enjoy food, you enjoy candy, you enjoy going out to eat or whatever. That's because you're alive. Who gets credit for that? God. God gave you life. Well, how about eternal life? How about this life forever? How about this life where there's no more sorrow, pain, sin? Where there's pleasure. Where there's joy. Where there's comfort. Where there's love. Where you're accepted into the family of God. Wow. I am come that they might have life. They might have it more abundantly. How about an abundant life? I can tell you the absolute truth. I had a good time as a young person. Even before I was saved, I had a good time. I enjoyed life. I never was depressed or down. I never wanted to kill myself. Evidently, I tried a few times, but I didn't make it, you know. Had wrecks and falling different places, doing stupid things. Anybody ever done a stupid thing? Yeah, a few of you. A few of you are honest enough to admit it. Some of you are still doing it. But yeah, I am. Abundant. Pardon me. Abundant life. How about abundant life? When I got to be 20, I was alive and kicking. Man, I was having fun. I did a lot of things. But I got saved. And God gave me abundant life. Wow! I've been a happy man most of my life. I was when I was lost. I was happy. I wasn't depressed, or I didn't ever think about killing myself. I was having too much fun. I skipped school some, but not very often, because that's where all the kids were. And I went to school to have fun. I got an abundant life when I got a hold of Christ. When Christ got a hold of me, and I began to read the New Testament and really believe it and try to put it into practice in my mind, trying to think that way, trying to find out what the Word of God had to say. Wow. I've had 64 years of abundant life. I think I'm a very lucky person, very blessed person. I don't know about you. I'm very happy. I am by myself, yeah, most of the time. I live by myself. I drive my car. Praise the Lord, I'm still driving. I might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, I am the good shepherd. He said he was the door. Now, he's going to explain that a little more. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Wow, now wait a minute. He's telling them this. This is what he was talking to his disciples. John is telling us what he told them. In the last days of his life, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. There's your crucifixion. There's your substitutionary death. There is your method of righteousness. There is the forgiveness of your sins. There is your entrance into the sheepfold. There is the way to get into the presence of God. Wow. I'm not only the door, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He that's a hireling, yeah, you hired this guy for cheap wages, for him to watch the sheep for you. Whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. Here he goes again. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, so, even so, know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. He hadn't gone to the cross yet. He's telling his disciples what he's going to do. In just a few days, he's going to do it. 33 and a half years old. I lay down my life. Now, we have heroes in probably every week. Somebody who jumps into a freezing pool to deliver a child that's fallen through thin ice. We call them heroes. They risk their life themselves to help somebody else. That's beautiful. It's wonderful. Well, here's the good shepherd. He's going to lay his life down for the sheep. He's trying to prepare these disciples for Calvary. He's planning to put it in their heads, I am going to die in just a few days. I'm going to lay my life down for the sheep. And then here I like verse 16 too, because that includes me, maybe you. Other sheep I have. I'm not a Jew. Anybody Jew? I'm not. I wasn't born a Jew. I think there was a smattering of it in my blood somewhere back there when they did ancestry. But I'm not a Jew. I'm not of that fold. I've never been in a Jewish tabernacle. I never made a Jewish sacrifice. But you know what? He said, other sheep I have. I think he's talking about us. I think he's talking about the millions that have come to Christ since he died upon the cross of Calvary. Different people, all different kinds of people. The headhunters that killed Jim Elliot in South America in the 50s. There's some of them got saved. His wife went back into that tribe and they got converted. And Billy Graham had several of them with him on one of his great campaigns. I remember the advertisement about it. The very guys that killed Jim Elliot and those other missionaries, those five missionaries, were now preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he had them with him in one of his meetings. Hey, there be people today, right now today, that are hearing the gospel for the first time. Because some missionary went out there, went to where they were, gave them the truth of the good shepherd. The good shepherd who giveth his life for the sheep. I'm the substitute. I'll pay your debt. That's pretty nice. That's just pretty nice. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. That probably includes most of you. We're not of a Jewish religion or race. Them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Look in Psalm 22. I got about four or five verses in Psalm 22 that I think fit this. Psalm 22:27. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. Is that happening? It's happening all around the world. The gospel is going, and in our television society, those television preachers and singers and whatever, they're singing to people all around the world. Verse 28, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among all the nations. 29, all they that be fat upon the earth and shall eat and worship, they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born that he hath done this. Right now, everywhere in the world, maybe not some individual pockets, but all over the world, the gospel is being preached. The Bible is being distributed. There are men who give their lives to go into a tribe that their language is not written. They live with them for the years to learn how to speak their language. They teach them how to write. They write the language. They translate the Bible into that language, and they win some of them to the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Wow, wow, that's happening today. We've got missionaries in Mexico, and we've got missionaries in Poland. Praise the Lord. Well, that's as far as I got today. God bless you.